Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Sunday night Ambit Energy Business Builder Call. My name's Brian McClure. I'm an ambassador with the company. I'm proud to say so. And I just want to welcome everybody and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule this Labor Day weekend to join the call. We're not going to stay real long tonight, but I think every once in a while it's important to go back over the fundamentals of how to build one of these businesses. And, you know, I think it's really true in any you can capitalize on not only if you're building a business that requires a sphere of influence, you're building a business that requires networking or whatever. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're somebody of, you know, huge importance with a huge sphere of influence, a Bill Clinton or a Ronald Reagan in his day, or, you know, whomever, you know, just a titan of industry. You only know so many people. And, you know, that everybody has a finite number of people that they know. Now, typically that number is a lot larger than you give yourself credit for. But if all you ever do is talk to those people about joining you in a business or networking with those people to get referrals or whatever it is you're trying to do, I just want to point out this is applicable outside of your Ambit Energy business. So we're talking about Ambit Energy, so that's what I'm going to teach on tonight. But it's true in any business. You know, you only have a certain number of people that you know, and you have people that you know real, real well. That's your friends and your family and, you know, your coworkers and maybe people you know from the church real, real well. So they kind of call that your hot market. And then you've got your warm market, you know, people that you run into every once in a while. They're kind of friends and you know them. And, you know, you might even call them occasionally, but, you know, they're not somebody that you come in contact on a regular basis. Maybe this is somebody that you see or you touch or you interface with, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a year. And then you have your lukewarm market. These are people that you know and they know you, but you're just not around them a whole lot to really interface with them. And then past that, you get into your cold market, people that you don't know. And I think everybody on this call can agree that the biggest of those four markets, your hot market, your warm market, your lukewarm market, and your cold market, is the cold market. You know, there's hundreds of millions of people in the United States of America alone. So, you know, suffice to say that the cold market is infinitely larger for each and every one of us than our warm or lukewarm or hot market is. So when you're building a business, if all you ever do is talk to the people that you know, and then you run out of people to talk to at some point. So it's really, really important that you understand the fundamentals of how to build a sales and marketing organization. I'm not going to go through the mechanics of how you show the business. Of course, today we do it via Zoom. You know, live meetings are starting to come back in various markets. And so, you know, at some point you show the business to somebody. And at the end of that presentation, there are really only three answers they can give you. They can say, yes, I want to do the business and join, and they get a C number and you help them gather their customers. Or no, I don't care to join the business. And people will tell you that in a lot of different ways. You know, you have to accept it, you know, so they can tell you no. But what I can tell you is the vast majority of people that you talk to are going to say maybe. And we're all familiar with what maybe sounds like. Let me talk to my husband. Let me talk to my wife. Let me think about it because I just don't know if I have time for something like this. I want to do a little research on the internet. You know, give me some time because I'm the head of the Christmas pageant at church and now's really not a good time. You know, I could go on and on and on for another 10 minutes of all the different ways that people say maybe. They don't say no. They don't say no, this business isn't for me. I would never do anything like this. And they don't say yes. Yes, I want to get in. How do I do that? What's the website? You know, so a yes is when they put up their credit card, and a no is a definitive no, I'm not interested. And everything else is a maybe. So what happens is that typically you start to work your hot market, your warm market, your lukewarm market. Most of the people on this call probably run through a lot of that, though I would encourage you to revisit it, because inevitably there are people that you know that you just, one, either pre-qualified and said, oh, they're too wealthy, they make too much money, they wouldn't be interested in something like this, or, oh, they're too poor, you know, they're getting evicted from their house, they wouldn't be able to afford to get in something like this, or, oh, they mentioned at a party I was with the other day how they despise network marketing, so they wouldn't be a candidate because, you know, they don't want to get involved with something like this. So you pre-qualify them and disqualify them in your mind without giving them the opportunity to say yes or no after they've reviewed the business. So you can always expand your list is my point. But at the end of it, they're going to say yes, no, or maybe. Now, what is the most valuable thing that a person you have, that a person that you're showing the business to has? It's not the money to get in. It's their sphere of influence, you know? And so what happens is that at the end of the presentation, when they give you the maybe, and again, it's going to come at you several different ways. Oh, let me talk to my wife. Let me do this, blah, 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 blah. All those different ways I just went over. You're going to say typically something along the lines of, well, okay, you know, you're going to talk to your wife. When can you do that? Or you're going to talk to your husband. When can you do that? And they'll say, well, you know, I'll be able to talk to him tomorrow. Okay, well, it'd be okay for me to call you tomorrow night. And then you call him tomorrow night. Oh, I didn't really get a chance to talk to her or whatever. Well, when do you think you could talk to her? Well, give me till the weekend, you know. So you call them up Sunday evening and they still hadn't talked to their wife, or, you know, well, I talked to my wife, but, you know, she didn't quite understand it. And, you know, I want to do a little bit more research on the internet, or, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And so what happens is that person puts you in a perpetual trying to get an answer mode. And during that process, a lot of instances, and you know, most people on this call have been in the business for a while, that person will just quit returning your phone call. I mean, they won't pick up anymore. Oh, I know what he's calling for. And you feel bad. Maybe you're the persistent type and you say, okay, well, I'm going to see him at the ball game Friday night. I'm going to talk to him then. You know, whatever it is, the person is, you're in a perpetual hamster cage going around and around and around and around, and you're spending an inordinate amount of time trying to get an answer from that person. So try this on for size. So when that person says maybe, ask them this question. Say, well, John, let me ask you something. If I did most of the work, and the reason you want to use that comment is because people are lazy. They just are. And so you want to make sure that they understand that they're not going to have to put a whole lot of time and effort into it. So, John, let me ask you a question. If I did most of the work, would it be worth an additional 5 to 7 hours of your time? And that would be 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, on your drive to and from work, that sort of thing, to see if this business could work for you and Mary. Now, at the end of that question, they can say, well, yeah, I guess it'd be worth an investment of time. And you tell them at the same time, and you keep your wallet in your pockets, not going to cost you a dime. So you're going to eliminate the cost objection. You're going to placate and minimize the time investment objective. And you're going to appeal to the fact that most people are lazy by telling them you're going to do most of the work. And so bottom line is, John, would it be worth, if I did most of the work, would it be worth an additional 5 to 7 hours of your time, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, in drive time and downtime that you have, and it wouldn't cost you a dime, would it be worth investigating to see if this business could work for you and your wife, or you and your family, or you and Mary, or whoever it may be? Now, at the end of that, they can say yes or they can say no, okay? So if they say no, say, well, you know, Brian, I'm like I told you, I'm just really busy right now. I just, you know, I don't know if it would be a good time. Then default, default to see if you can get them to be your customer. So, well, John, why don't we do this? Why don't I start you off as my customer? Let's see how it goes. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And with the products that they just announced at Ambition, you know, there's some good products there. You try to get them as a customer, and you accept the fact that they said no, okay? You accept that fact that when they're saying, well, you know, I just don't know, you know, if I'd have time like I was telling you, that's a no. Why is it a no? Because the most important asset they have is their sphere of influence. And if they're not willing to open up their sphere of influence, just think about this for a second. If they're not willing to open up their sphere of influence, what is the probability that they're going to be successful in this business? It's none. I mean, they'll never promote to regional consultant. You don't want to get somebody in the business just to put them in the business and get a couple of customers and they're out of the business. So that's their way of saying, hey, I'm just not comfortable with sharing it with people. Now, sometimes they'll ask you, well, what would I have to do? Well, tell them. Say, look, you remember I had you look at the video, or you remember I got you onto Zoom. All you have to do is do that same thing. And if you feel comfortable that you could do that, then you put them on the phone with me. And wouldn't you agree with me that if we got 10 people on the phone with me, or 20 people, pick the number that you're comfortable with, we can't just do one or two, and every one of them said, no, they're not interested in doing the business, or they're not willing to share it with other people, that this is probably something that you wouldn't want to do. And you always want to start off with the negative, okay? And so this is something you wouldn't want to do. And they'll say, yeah. But conversely, John, wouldn't you agree with me that if we showed it to 10, 15, 20 people, and we had two or three say, yes, they want to do it, based on the fact that when they gathered their customers, you were going to make $100 and it's going to help you promote to get to more money, then it's probably something you should do. And they'll typically say yes to that. Say, so what you'll do is you'll get on the phone, and I can coach you through it, but you just get on the phone and ask somebody, hey, Bob, let me ask you something. If I could show you how you could make money every time you burned electricity, whether it was looking at your computer or being on the TV or burning lights or keeping your refrigerator plugged in, and you could make money every single time that little electric meter disc spun on the side of your house, would that be worth 20, 25 minutes of your time to investigate? And then at that point, you're going to get them on the Zoom, or you're going to get them on to look at the video. And you're going to do that on your way to work. You're going to do that on your lunch break. You're going to do that on the weekends where you're sitting there watching the football game. And just get people to agree to do it. Or if you're getting together with them, get together with them, pull up your computer and watch it with them. But your job is to get them to look at that video or get on these Zooms, and you can give them the time for the Zooms and how to get onto the Zoom that you're tied into, and get them to look at that video. Once they look at the video, here's the question. Did that make sense to you? Not what do you think or anything like that. Did that make sense to you? It's hard for somebody to say, no, it didn't make any sense. They'll typically say, yeah, you know, I have a couple of questions. You know, John, most people do. I know I certainly did. So what I want to do is I want to put you on the phone with such and such. Now, this is such and such is who you're doing three-way calls with. You know, I want to put you on the phone with Mary. Mary's been in the energy business now for 4, 5, 6 years, whatever Mary's story is. She's highly successful. She's making a lot of money. And she would have all the answers. Now, this is an important part. You're going to say at that point, now, I'll tell you, John, Mary's not going to try to get you to join the business. I mean, this isn't getting you on a phone call to, have her bug you about joining the business. If you want to join the business, then that's going to be a decision you're going to make. So she's not going to try to close you to get into the business, but she can answer all of your questions, and then you can make a decision as to whether you have, based on those answers, if this is something that would be of interest to you. All I know is I'm super excited about it, and the other thing I know is Mary's made a ton of money doing it, and so could you. So why don't we set up a time where I can get you on the phone with Mary? She'll answer all your questions, and we can go from there. Sound fair enough? Fair enough. Okay, so keep in mind that in the system, the first thing is the invitation. And the invitation is not to join, okay? The invitation is strictly to take a look. So you make your written list. That's step one, okay? I told you on this call, reconstitute your written list, rework your written list, okay? Go and sit down with some of your people, rework their written list as well. Sit down and with the written list, invite people to take a look. That's a look at the video. It's a look at a Zoom, however they're going to take a look. And then after the invitation is the presentation. So the only purpose of the invitation is get them to take a look at the presentation, which is the third step. And then the fourth step is validation, which is when you're putting them on a three-way call. So written list, invitation, presentation, validation, four-step process to get somebody involved in the business. But the most important thing is listen carefully at the end of the presentation. Very few people are going to say yes. Very few people are going to say, hey, I'm ready to go, sign me up, let's get this thing rocking and rolling, okay? Very few people are going to say no. You know, where they just say, you know, Brian, I'm not a salesman. It just isn't something I think I'd do well at. Or, you know, Brian, I got involved in a network marketing company before and it was very distasteful. I got some of my friends involved. They just, you know, it just didn't work out for me and I don't want to be involved in network marketing anymore. So that would be a no. And then everything else I'll throw at you. And again, I won't take up our time tonight because I promised to keep this short with all the different need to talk to my husband, need to talk to my wife. Don't know if I have the time, you know, too busy with work, I'm middle of a project here, you know, blah, 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 blah. That's a maybe. And again, when you get the maybe, it's real simple. You know, John, if I did most of the work, it didn't cost you a dime. Would it be worth an additional 5 to 7 hours of your time, 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, to see if this business could work for you and your family? I'll do most of the work. It's not going to cost you a penny. If they say yes, then what do? You go right to their written list. Say, well, what we want to do at that time is we want to get this in front of some people. Now, not one or two people, but we need to get 10, 15, 20 people to look at the video or to attend a Zoom meeting. And I'll help you coach you through that. But again, you're not asking somebody to join. You're doing what I just did with you. And this is an important point. The way that they were brought through the system is the way they are going to bring people through the system. So even though you're bringing somebody through the system, you're training them because that's what they're familiar with. Okay, so bottom line is we're going to do the same thing with them that I did with you, John. You can take a look at the video. We're going to get them on the phone with me to answer questions. And then from there, we're going to see if they're interested. If they're interested, then we're going to sign them up. If they're not interested, that's fine. And if they are like you and they, you know, are willing to invest a little bit more time, we're going to start working with them in the same manner. Now, what I'll tell you is when you get to that maybe, so what you're going to do, and the telltale sign of whether they're going to do this business or not, is you're going to ask for the written list. So, John, if I did most of the work, wouldn't cost you a dime, is it worth 5 to 10 hours of your time? Well, what would I have to do? Well, just invite people to take a look at the video and put them on the phone with me. Well, let me think about it. You know, I'm not real sure. Well, John, this is like when you're driving to work, you got a little lunch break, you know, you're out of the office doing something, you bump into somebody, you know, this is literally 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. This is not interfering with what you got going on in your life. Yeah, I know, but let me just think about it. Folks, that's a no. But if they say, yeah, that would be something I'd be interested in, then what you're going to do is you're going to say, great, who's the first person you thought of that you think would be interested in making some extra money? And if they start to give you their written list, well, you know, I know this guy, John, and, you know, John works with me at work. Now, keep in mind, when you're getting their written list, you don't have to get John's name and telephone number and all that. You're not going to call John. They're going to call John. So don't get a written. If somebody says, well, look, I'll give you a written list, then you can call them. Don't agree to do that. I mean, if you just don't have anybody else to talk to, I guess you could. But, you know, this is Brian. I'm a friend of John's. I know him from work. And, you know, I showed him this business that I'm involved with. And, you know, he said, you know, he thought you may be interested. Well, I mean, it's like if John's not interested enough to call, it's a washout. Now, you might get somebody that's really looking for a home-based business that says, yeah, well, I would be interested. You know, I'm looking to make some extra money doing something. And, you know, but your success ratio with working somebody else's written list is going to be very low. So I don't recommend that you do that. But if John starts giving you the written list, you might make some phone calls with them right then and there so that you can coach them. You know, so John puts his cell phone on speaker. He calls. He does the first invite. You're just listening. You know, John makes a couple of mistakes or what have you. Then you hang up the phone and say, you know, when you said this to Mary, Mary said this, a better response would have been this, because the reason she was asking the question, even though she didn't say this, the real underlying reason she was asking the question was because of this. So you can go through and you can coach them. And, you know, so smiling and dialing with the prospect is fantastic. You have to get them to commit to talking to 10, 15 people and putting at least 3 or 4 people on the phone with you, because not everybody is, you know, going to agree. And if they don't get something going relatively soon, then they're not going to get in the business. So you've got to have numbers to work with. And if they're not willing to open up their sphere of influence and give you their written list, that's a no. Try to see if you can get them to become a customer and move on. You can keep them informed. You say, oh yeah, you know, you run into them 3 months later, say they're on your lukewarm list at the Christmas party, you run into them at church or whatever, say, hey, how's it going? Great. You know, how's everything at IBM? Oh, that's fantastic. And this, that, and other thing. A lot of times they'll ask you, well, how's that energy business going? You know, and, or you can just slip it in, you know, well, things are going great. You know, the real estate business is blowing up. It's a super hot market. And, you know, I'm doing great with my little energy business I talked to you about, and, you know, things are really, really good. So you don't have to go in to try to recruit them. You just basically touch on it, that you're still involved, that lets them know you're still involved, you're still working the business. You know, if you just got a nice check, say, yeah, in fact, Emmett sent me a check for, you know, $300, or Emmett just sent me a check last week for $100, or Emmett just sent me my residual check for X number of dollars. You know, any amount of money is, and you don't have to exaggerate, but any amount of money is more than they're making from Ambit Energy. And then just take it away from them. You just don't talk about it. You know, don't say something like, you know, you really ought to relook the business, John, because you made a mistake. You know, no. You know, you're playing for the long game. So you see them again in another 3 or 4 months. Maybe it comes up again. Maybe it doesn't. You know, boom. Just work and work and work. I talk to people about my business in the early years. And after they saw some of the success that I was having, they got in a year, 2 years after I initially talked to them about it. But I never pushed them. I never begged them. I just knew I was doing well in the business. And, you know, something changed in their world. I'll tell you another story. I talked to a guy in my XL telecommunications business, network marketing company, did long distance. And he was a banker at Whitney Bank, which is one of the big local banks there in the New Orleans area where I was, you know, living at the time. And he was a big banker at this big prestigious bank. And he said, oh, you know, this is just something I wouldn't be interested in. You know, I'm a senior vice president at the Whitney Bank. And, you know, just this would probably be a conflict. You know, he was just so holier than thou sort of attitude towards it. I said, fine, no problem. Back then we had presentation, you know, flip charts. I pulled up my flip chart, thanked him, chatted about New Orleans, the economy in New Orleans. That was the end of lunch. Always, you know, gave him my business card. So he called me about a week later. And I said, okay, this guy's going to try to get my banking business. But I called him back. And he answered his phone. And he said, well, I was thinking more about that XL telecommunications thing. And, you know, I'd like to get back together with you again. Would you be available to tomorrow or the next day? Well, this was a definite no. And I said, well, sure. Well, it turned out that he had been laid off, that this was kind of one of the economic downturns in the oil economy of South Louisiana and New Orleans. And so he'd been laid off, and he picked it up and actually did pretty good with the business. So point of that story is that it is a timing business. A lot of times, you know, people are set, they think they're fine, they don't have the time for it, something changes in their life. All of a sudden, they realize their kid's college fund's not taken care of, and they start thinking about ways to make money and go, oh, well, Brian talked to me about that energy thing, so it kind of sounded interesting, and they'll call you back. Now, you're not going to get a whole lot of that, but the bottom line is, you know, just play it cool with them. If they say no to the business, then let it be a no and move on. Don't keep bugging them. Don't keep hounding them, because if you're doing that to them, then they're going to feel like you're going to do that with the people they bring into the business, and they don't want that with their business associates, friends, and family. The most valuable resource you have and the most valuable resource they have is their written list. So if you get back to the fundamentals, the first thing you got to do is reconstitute your written list, and it is a written list. You know, now you can capture that written list any way you want to. You know, you can do it on index cards. You can do it on a three-ring binder. You can do it on a spiral notebook. You can do it on an Excel spreadsheet. You know, do it in a way that you're comfortable with. But best place to start to make your written list from is all your contacts and your cell phone, and then start going through all the different aspects of your life. If you want to build a written list, you know, go find an old Yellow Pages and go through the Yellow Pages, go through all the A's so you get the accountants. Okay, who do I know that's an accountant? Acupuncturist. Who do I know that's an acupuncturist? And you know, reconstitute that written list. Let's say that you're at a Christmas party and you were talking about you had a problem with your knees or something, and your friend John said, yeah, well, you ought to try an acupuncturist. I have a good one, and you never pursued it or whatever. Then you remember that. You call up John and say, hey, John, remember the Christmas party last year? You were telling me about you knew some acupuncturist that might be able to help me with my knee. What's their name? Oh, yeah, it's Dr. Jones. And do you mind giving me your number? Do you mind if I mention that you referred me? They'll say no. And then call up Dr. Jones. Say, Dr. Jones, this is Brian McCore. I'm a friend of John Hayes. And John gave me your name and number. How are you doing today? Great. Let me ask you something, doctor. Do you keep yourself open to additional profit centers in your chiropractic business that doesn't interfere with your business at all? Well, yeah, I'd be interested in, you know, might be interested in something like that. Well, then set an appointment with them, get them to watch the video whatever, and go from there. Now, all of a sudden, you've, from going through the Yellow Pages or going through occupations, you've triggered something that was cold market, but it was more than a cold market because you had the ability to you know, reference your friend that kind of got your foot in the door. So you got to reconstitute your written list, and you got to go back to work. And this time, instead of bugging them until they quit answering your phone call, you know, work these fundamentals and try to turn the maybes into yeses by building the fire underneath them. You know, I always like to tell the analogy of, and I'll date myself a little bit here, but I know my buddy George Jenkins is on the phone, and some of the rest of y'all been around long enough to know what I'm talking about. But back in the day, you know, if you wanted to pop popcorn, you put a little oil in the back bottom of the pot, and you poured kernels of corn on it. You put the lid on it, and you started shaking it over the burner. And you'd shake and shake and shake and shake and shake, and you'd lift the lid up, and sure enough, they were all sizzling. You keep shaking, and all of a sudden, you hear pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. Well, the reason that those kernels popped is because the fire was underneath them. And the way you try to get popcorn to burn or to pop in your organization is put the fire above them. You're above them. So, you know, the fire above them isn't popping the kernels. But if you can get somebody started underneath them that's excited, then that kernel's going to pop and you're going to put somebody into your business. All right, well, I am going to open it back up. I appreciate everybody getting on tonight's call. Look for your email. We're going to have a good speaker next week. I got to confirm it, but make sure you get everybody on this call next Sunday night.